This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com, and I am with Forrest Roberts, the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Forrest, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I'm really well. Well, I know you've got to be pretty tired. It's about the end of the day and in a long series of meetings here in Florida, but a lot of exciting things are happening. I think you're making some really great progress in some of your policy initiatives and things. And Forrest, how are things going? Now, what are some of the things that you really feel like you're making progress on and some things that you feel like maybe you need to do some more work?
Sure. We've had a great week here in Florida. This is the meeting that we come together and we look at making the business decisions that really drive us as staff to take and put in action here over the next 6 months. So as we wrap up our fiscal year here in a couple of months and we head into the new fiscal year beginning October 1, this is that opportunity to bring all of those plans together and where the final business decisions are made. So it's a very one of those roll your sleeves up kind of meetings where everybody gets right down to work. We've had a very good meeting here this week. One area in particular that we have really zeroed into is how we go back to the relationship. The relationship, not just with the industry, but the relationship with the Cattlemen's Beef Board. The industry expects that to be one of a partnership, and that is exactly what I feel has been demonstrated here this week. We've had a significant level of progress in working through issues and identifying opportunities and really zeroing into how do we get more people to eat beef more often. And within all of those discussions, that is a very centered question that we ask ourselves when we make these kind of business decisions. But the working relationship there and how we've structured all of the conversation has gone extremely well.
So, Forrest, compared to past years, do you feel like this year in particular is really critical on the policy side for cattle producers, or do you think it's, you know, somewhat not same old per se, but sort of the same issues that you're seeing over and over and over again?
I think there's a couple of issues in particular that have been really at the top of the discussions here this week. The first one would center around, as we look at issues coming from this current administration, and specifically one agency, that being the EPA, that's a big area of discussion here this week when we talk about policy. There's been quite an overreach, as we would see it as an organization, and what that one particular agency has done within our industry in an area that we are pushing back because it's not logical, it's not rational, and it's not science-based when you look at the overreach that the EPA has had back into the beef industry with the number of regulations that they've brought forth, not just here in the last few months, but for the past 2 years. The second area is on the discussion docket is around the final next steps with our strategy to address the proposed GPSR rule. It's a rule that, you know, if you go back to what's happened in our industry just in the last 2 months, certified Angus beef had the highest volume month on record in history. And that particular proposed rule would have a detrimental impact on what an organization like that and what that means to the beef industry has done and adding value back into this industry. And so that's a second issue, the proposed GPSR rule that we've had quite a bit of discussion here this week. And then a third that's been very central to some efforts that I've been involved with is around trade, how we look at the free trade agreements that are pending, and most importantly, how we look for ways that we can gain additional access into these key export markets. So from a policy perspective, when we look at EPA, this proposed GPSR rule, and that of how we zero into addressing market access issues with international trade, those are three big areas of discussion among a few others.
So, Forrest, one of the things that I'm trying to wrap my arms around, and I think a lot of people are, is the disconnect between an administration that says they want United States agriculture, including cattle producers, to lead the world in terms of providing food, and they also want to lead, they want to create jobs. But it sounds to me like a lot of these policy pieces of legislation they're considering would actually do the opposite of that. They would hurt our economy, they would hurt our jobs, they would hurt our ability to produce food. Where do you think that disconnect is coming from?
I think a large part of the disconnect is that a lot of folks that have been involved in a lot of those policy decisions in Washington, D.C. have very little true connection with the industry. They have very little connection with agriculture and especially that of the beef industry. So what our efforts have been is around how do we provide the education and the knowledge of what really beef producers want and need so that when those decisions are made, It can be based on not just sound science, but good economic principles that allow our industry to lead forward. And one in particular principle that we have had in just about any policy that this organization brings forward is, give us the opportunity to have a level of freedom to operate in managing our businesses, but in a responsible way. And if we just keep that principle in mind as those decisions are being made, I think that it will open up the gates, if you will, of opportunity in a way that we've never seen before in terms of the beef industry's ability to really capitalize on all of the opportunities that are out there. You spoke about those opportunities. We think about the next 40 years. We're going to have an opportunity to see a need for 100% increase in food production just to feed the 9.5 to 10 billion people that will be on this planet. And that provides a lot of opportunity for the U.S. beef industry to participate in that growth and global population and the corresponding need that's going to be there to feed this growing population.
So, Forrest, you mentioned the work you're doing very closely with the Beef Board. So what are your next steps? You know, how are you going to continue making sure that this relationship between your two organizations is working together and working together for the industry?
Well, it starts with very open, very transparent, and very objective communication. That's a commitment from a staff perspective that Polly Rulin, who is the interim CEO, and I have in really trying to work through and try to find any issues that need to be solved and really zero into solving them in a very objective way. That's exactly what we've done here the past several weeks, and that's what we expect to continue to do going forward. But as we move forward, we want to make sure that there is accountability on both organizations, accountability to make sure that we're doing things appropriately, but we're doing work for the industry. We're doing work for the industry that allows us to have, again, more people enjoying beef more often. And if we keep it really focused in those simple terms, I think we can have a huge amount of success, just as we've had for the past 16 years in working through this program as we move forward.
And Forrest, what's next? We're going to leave here tomorrow after your board meeting, and then you're going to reconvene at your winter conference in Nashville. But between now and then, what's next for your organization?
A lot happening right after we leave this meeting. We'll naturally have decisions made about policy and committee direction on all of the areas of focus that we have, not only to wrap up our fiscal year, but to start and launch into the new fiscal year, which again starts October 1. So our team will be actively working to make final adjustments to our plans that have been presented and discussed and deliberated here this week. And then we'll be able to put those plans in motion beginning October 1. So by the time that we get to our convention in February in Nashville, Tennessee, we'll have that opportunity to report on some of the first steps and progress that we've made and gain additional critical feedback about where we go from there. So it's a continuous cycle that is very all-encompassing, and it is very much on a continual basis.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.